Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We are so glad that you're with us today on this second Sunday after Pentecost. And it's kind of nice to be able to be back to normal for the most part and in worship today. And we are glad that you've taken time out of your schedule to be with us today as we've been talking about through the series that I've been preaching on the church and making room for Christ and God's presence. We've been talking about how important it is for us to gather together and worship together and what a difference that makes in our lives. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking more about that, about how to make space for God and Christ's presence in our midst. So as we begin our service this morning, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship. Rejoice, soak up God's presence.
We raise our voices in joy. God is with us.
Christ is with us, offering us lessons in living and serving.
We open our ears and our hearts to hear His words and
His word. Lift your voices in joyful praise. Well, let's join together this morning. You turn into your hymn books, hymn number 430, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, and we're going to be singing all three verses this morning. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groanings, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Sweet day. my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. We stand in all of you, O God, having seen the miracles of everyday life. We have enjoyed both the sunshine and the rains. We have marveled over the beauty of flowers and the wonder of stars. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may go forth from this place ready to joyfully serve you all our days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to sing our next hymn. We're going to be singing two verses there on 197 of What a Friend We Have in Jesus this morning. We're going to go right into our prayer time this morning since we don't have any kids today. And so maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer today. Someone, yes. Wow. We thank God for that. Yes. And I also want to thank God for Tom, because you know his sugar count got over 1,100. Yes. He is a miracle. Yeah. It is a miracle. And when I saw him this week, he thought I was a doctor. And I joked with him and I said, I wish I was making as much money as a doctor. And then I pulled my mask down and he goes, oh my gosh, Jason. But he is coming along. He has some days where he does real great and is real clear. And then other days he kind of said, he goes, there's kind of like a cloud in my brain. That's what he described it as. But they moved him to Spring Mead and he's getting physical therapy. And I'm hoping I will get to go see him. I don't know what their rules are yet. I'll talk to you later about that. I know. So thank God, and especially the prayer chain that immediately went to prayer for him. And yes, that was something there. Somebody else this morning. Someone else. Joy, yes.
Friday, and she did not fast for
Yeah, and there's a lot of different things we need to be praying about Bonnie on. Number one, they need to get back to treating her with the treatments, but they're talking 7 to 10 days to confirm. They're not sure what it is, but they think it's the same cancer she had before in her throat. So it's just things have been drawn out, and while this has all been happening, that tumor has started to grow back in her throat, and it got so bad she couldn't breathe. So we appreciate your prayers for her and asking God to touch that, and hopefully things will move along quicker so that they can get her treated so that things start shrinking. And hopefully, you know, we were kind of talking about this earlier this morning, they may be able to then do surgery and take that out, but definitely need prayers for Bonnie. Someone else this morning? Yes. So we want to remember Mary as she is recovering from this accident and asking God's touch there. Someone else. Yeah. Yes, definitely need, anytime blood clots get around the lungs and heart area, gets a little scary. So we definitely want to keep her in our prayers for blood clots in the lungs. I think I saw a couple other hands. Yeah. Okay, so I'm having a real hard time hearing you, especially with the air conditioners on. I got Bretta. Yeah. And who was the second person?
Renee.
Oh, Renee. Okay, yes. And then what's going on with Mary Lou?
Heart catheter.
Okay.
That's Mary Lou's sister.
Oh, sorry. You were scaring me for a second there. I was getting a little concerned. Okay. But still, we need to keep Mary Lou in prayers. She's going for the heart cath. Hopefully, if there's something going on there, they'll be able to fix it while they're in there. Yes. Oh, thank God for that. Yeah. Thank God for that. I know. I remember when Chase was younger and he got those 103 temperatures and Jody was freaking out. I somewhat, but anyways. But then we just found out virus, nothing we can do. Keep him cool. Give him time, offset, you know, the normal thing. So somebody else. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, we want to keep Butch in our prayers as he's having an outpatient procedure on, you said Wednesday? Wednesday, okay. We want to keep him in prayer? Yeah.
I'm going to take a rest for a little 3-day trip, and so I'm praying for our safety, and maybe no fighting.
And now, how is that going to happen? If you come back and you say there was no fighting, then we'll... God is still doing miracles. Two brothers. Yeah. No, but I understand what's going on there. Yes, she's traveling with the grandsons that she's taking by herself, and she's praying for lots of different things. So I saw a couple other hands right here. Yeah. Unspoken. We know God knows what those are. And thank God. Somebody else. Unspoken? Okay. Yeah.
A friend of ours, we prayed for a couple of years ago, and that cancer, his name is Rick back.
We got three other massive places. And I asked for prayers for Kevin a couple weeks ago. The spot on his tongue, he went to the ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he doesn't think it's tongue cancer. So he gave rubber and so hopefully that's all it is. And he does have carpal tunnel on the middle of his hand, so he is off work and just pray for me so I don't.
yep. Okay. On Rick, fill out one of the slips again so we can get him back on the monthly list. Yeah. Because I was working on next month's already. So, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, so we want to remember Jeanette for fall and cancer, Kevin, who's with the carpal tunnel, and Rick, I didn't mention these out loud earlier, with cancer back battling. Someone else? Anybody else this morning? We have, I guess we kind of covered some of them. I just, again, wanted to say thank you so much for your prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce, while he's been going through the chemo treatments with the colon cancer. And this coming Tuesday, he is scheduled for his first PET scan since having chemo treatments. He's hoping on Wednesday he'll know the results of that. And so we're just really praying. We know where the spot is in his colon and what's going on there, but there's two little spots that they found on in his lung, which they biopsied and was the colon cancer. So what was in his colon moved up there. So we're really praying, and he's hoping that the spots will be gone in his lungs. And then that'll be a good sign, because he said they could end up then doing surgery on his colon. So keep him in prayers for a good report. And he finished up with his treatment here this past week, his last round until they do the testing. Also for Sean, continuing recovery from having triple bypass surgery. Appreciate that. He's been on our list there. Anybody else real quick before we go to prayer? All right, so as she plays, it'll give you a chance to pray, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, as we've gathered together in your name today, we are grateful that you are in our midst. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you are here. And so we are thankful for that today. And we are thankful that you are making us more aware of your presence each time we gather, as we've been going through this series and talking about your presence in our midst when we gather for worship. And Lord, we're so grateful that when we gather and you are here, that we can take the time to pray and lift up needs to you as you called us as a community to do. And Lord, we think about those that have been mentioned. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for, in the midst of everything that happened, that Tom is with us and that he is recovering and your mighty hand has been with him. And we ask that you would continue to do that. And Lord, we pray that you for Bonnie today, God, we're asking for healing in her throat with this cancer and that tumor. And Lord, asking that there would be your healing touch and shrinkage that would happen. And Lord, they'll be able to get her back on course where they need her to be able to get that taken care of. And we thank you. Lord, we lift up Mary, who's been in an accident, Lord, that needs your healing touch. We lift up Sandy to you that's been battling the blood clots in the lungs, God, for your healing there. For Bretta, God, we're asking for your healing touch there. Thank you for Renee, but we ask your continued healing touch and grace and strength there. Lord, we're praying for Mary Lou as she goes in for heart cath, God, that you will be with her, guide the surgeons as they do that. May they be able to take care of whatever may need to be fixed. And so thank you for that. We pray for Butch as he's going in for outpatient surgery on Wednesday, that you'll just be with him. Guide the surgeons as they work and do that procedure. And we thank you for that as you bring healing to him. Lord, we lift up Linda as she's going with her grandsons, that you'll just protect and watch and keep them safe, and that attitudes will stay good during that time. Lord, we lift up Rick, who they discovered the cancer is back. Lord, we're just asking for your healing touch and the miracle that he needs. Lord, we lift up Kevin to you, God, for this carpal tunnels. And Lord, I don't know if he'll have to have surgery regarding that, but we just pray for your healing touch and grace and pray for your peace there. We lift up Jeanette, God, who is this fall and is having issues there, for your touch and grace there, and also battling the cancer, for your healing touch upon her body today as she's going through, whether she's doing treatments or however is going on there. And Lord, we lift up Sean, Lord, as he's recovering from that open heart surgery, God, that your healing touch will be with him. And Lord, we lift up these two unspoken needs today, God, that you will just meet those needs as only you can do. You are the one that can make a way where there seems to be no way. And we just ask for your grace to be extended there. And Lord, we continue to lift up our first responders, our medical personnel, our military servicemen and women, and all of those that put their lives on the line to protect and heal and be there for us in so many different ways, that you'll just be with them. And Lord, we lift up Bruce, God, and we're just trusting you for a good report on Tuesday and Wednesday, God. And we thank you for the healing that is taking place in his body right now, and will continue to as we lift him up to you today. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the rest of this time as we've gathered today. Lord, as we break the bread of your word, may you speak to our hearts and encourage us and challenge us as you've called us to be a community of faith, walking in your ways. And Lord, we also pray for your special touch and blessing as we share at the table today and drink of the cup and eat of the bread. God, may your grace and presence be extended into our lives, that as we go forth this week, we can be your community and people of peace that you've called us to be. Thank you for all of these things now as we lift them up in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here I
Well, we have the opportunity this morning to worship the Lord with our giving. I was just saying something to Dana before the service started. I said, I hope I remember how to lead this part because it's been over a year since we've done it this way. But we thank you so much for your faithfulness through everything that we've have been experiencing. And we're thankful for God's blessings in our lives. So God bless you as you give today. Oh, and don't forget it's noisy collection. Join together there in our bulletin. Bountiful God, may the gifts we bring bear much fruit in your world, that people may be fed and blessed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from a couple passages. In fact, we have one bigger passage and then two smaller ones that you can follow along on the PowerPoint. First of all, we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 18 there together. So let's begin there. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And then two other passages, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, and then James 5, 16. Let's begin in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has passed. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And then James 5:16, therefore, confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight this morning, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, a little boy was in a relative's wedding. As he was coming down the aisle, he would take two steps and stop and turn to the crowd. And while he was facing them, he would put his hands up and go, "Roar!" Well, this went on step by step, roar, step by step, roar, all the way down the aisle. Well, as you can imagine, the crowd began to burst out in laughter so hard that many of them started to cry by the time he had reached his way all the way down. When asked what he was doing, the child sniffed and said, "I'm being the ring bearer." You got it? Oh, come on. A bear? Roar. There we go. I want to talk to you this morning, as we've been going through this series on the church, about the church as a reconciling community. We are facing some unparalleled times in our nation and world right now, where groups, including Christians, are pitted against one another. I'll say this, it's easy to stir up a crowd to hate something or someone more so than it is to bring people together and get things right and get things out into the open and work things out. The Apostle Paul tells us people in his day were accustomed to violence and division because it surrounded them like the air they breathed. If you read earlier in the chapter of chapter 2 in Ephesians, he talks about that. In other places he does too. I've often asked myself, as I was thinking about this week, does that describe our nation right now? Does that describe our world right now? But I want you to see something this morning, because the church has been raised up by God and Christ out of the swamp of that oppressive thinking through baptism for the practice of reconciliation and good works. And so when we've been asking the question, how do we, the church, make ourselves present for God's presence and Christ's presence? Or how do we make God and Christ's presence real in our own midst as we gather? I want you to know that I'm talking this morning about being peacemakers and a reconciling community. Here's what I want you to see this morning. This is what I'm talking about. First of all, I want to talk about, Christ, the restorer of peace. That is what we see Paul talking about here. Paul in Ephesians is talking about how two groups, Jews or Judeans or Israelites, and Gentiles or non-Judeans, non-Jews, have always been separated and always been there's always been hostility towards one another. And Paul wants us to see that something has happened in Christ that has changed all of that. And so what he wants us to see is that Christ is our peacemaker or reconciler. Okay? So when we're talking about reconciliation, we're talking about bringing two groups that have been pitted against each other back together. Peacemaker. Now, Paul is very clear in his writings that Christ goes between us. He's the mediator. He's the one that has gone between God and humans and human and humans and all of creation, forming, as we read there, one new humanity. That's what God longs for, is one new humanity. Christ's presence in our lives begins to replace the conflict, the chaos, and the hostility in our hearts. And he replaces that with wholeness, well-being, and harmony. That's what Paul means when he says Christ is our peace. Now, he doesn't just mean inner peace, but he means more than that. Because if you read the rest of his writings, you begin to see how important that is. Because peace in the Old Testament idea is wholeness, well-being, and not only between us and God, but between us and others. And that's what we've called to be as the church. So here's what I want you to see is when we are baptized into Christ, the hostility that divides humanity is put to death in us. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 6 when he talks about baptism and Colossians. In fact, in Colossians, he says it's almost as if when we're baptized, God does a circumcision on our heart. He cuts away the old and the new has come. As we see Paul saying here, if anyone is in Christ, i.e. has been baptized into Christ, new creation is right there in front of you. Now, does that mean we are perfect overnight? No, it doesn't. Does that mean we sometimes act a lot like the world still? Yes, it does. But God is working in our lives and working in us so that we as a church can be a light in the world. And so this hostility that Paul talks about there, which is based on religious, social, economic, cultural, political, and even institutional reasons for whatever. In other words, everything that humanity has always put up against divided one another, Christ, Paul says, has dealt with that on the cross. And he has put that to death, that hostility. And so God is raising up a people and forming a people, the church. And he wants to take that hostility out of our hearts so that we don't have issues with people that think differently than we do, that act differently than we do, that believe differently than we do, because that is not our job to judge them. Our job is to be the light and to let him work in us and through us to be a blessing. That's what we're called to do. Because all of these different things, this hostility, Paul says is antithetical to the new creation that God is forming in you and I. The old has passed away, Paul says. The new has come, creating one new humanity. And we are at peace with God, and we are to be at peace with our fellow human beings. So, how does this all work out? If that's the whole theology behind it all, and what God has done in Christ Jesus reconciling us, how does this all work out? Well, I want to talk to you about reconciliation in and through the church. Okay, so as Paul says there, part of the church's reconciling ministry, and this is a hard one, is not holding people's trespasses against them. Okay, So what's going on in our world today? You have people just acting like they do outside of Christ. And what is the church doing? Yelling, pointing fingers, condemning, and everything else. And what is the world doing? They're moving further and further and further away anything to do with God, Christ, and the church. Because the church is failing in what we've been called to do. We're not called to point fingers and condemn. We're called to love and welcome. Think about your life before you came to Christ. When you came to Christ, unless you were baptized when you were little and got confirmed and came up all the way through and was always a part of that, for some of you, you were out there living your life however you wanted to. But then somehow God got a hold of your life and began to change you. Did somebody tell you, you got to give up all those things first? Quit acting like the world before you can be a part of the church? Or did you start coming to church and God started transforming you? That's the questions I'm asking this morning as I'm thinking through all of this. And part of our reconciling ministry that Paul says there, and James points out, is that, and I love this, because the church as the body of Christ is the living embodiment of God's reconciling work. We're His hands out here doing it. We're supposed to be out there doing it. And guess what? Like God did to us when He chose to reconcile every one of us, He chose not to hold our sins against us. So what is Paul saying? The church is to do the same. I'm not concerned about what somebody's doing. I want to welcome them and let them know that God loves them and God can give them a life full of peace, wholeness, well-being. God takes care of all the other stuff. Just like God takes care of the junk in our lives, God will take care of the junk in other people's lives or whatever that involves. When we practice reconciliation as God did, we are opening the door for people to find Christ and let them experience faith and baptism and healing and making them part of what God is doing. That's one aspect, not holding people's trespasses against them. And it's easy because I think the church has failed in this because all we do is point out people's sins or groups of people's sins. And all the statistics are showing it. The younger generation doesn't want to have anything to do with the church. And it scares me as a pastor. Because part of our mission is reconciling. And then also part of the church's reconciling ministry is coming together in agreement for effective prayer. Now, this point right here, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, two mornings ago, as I had studied this all week long, and it was like I woke up and God says, this is why this needs to happen, is so your prayers will be effective. And James 5 is where it's at. When James says, and I did not know this, all the years I've read this passage, preached on it for healing and other things. When James says, confess your faults, the Greek word confess is not the normal confession word. It is a word that literally means out same word. It literally means out same word. In other words, he is referring to the practice of getting our words out so that we can come into some kind of agreement when we're disagreeing so that there can be healing and peace and reconciliation, and then our prayers will be effective. This is revelation. I did not see this ever before in all the years I've studied this passage. And this jumped out, and I said, oh, Lord, thank you. And I got the laptop out. It was dark out, and I started typing in stuff into my notes. Because here's what has happened. We get into disagreements with people, political, religious, the whole gamut. And our whole goal is to be right and to win an argument and to make them see. But the goal is to have everybody get their views out and then go forth and leave it alone. And so there can be peace and reconciliation and healing, so our prayers will be effective. This is why the church is called to be a reconciling community. I'll never forget my freshman year in Bible college. This was a church growth class. It was part of the missions program, fell under that, but as a pastor, it was excellent. We had to read a book by a pastor. It was called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. And this pastor argued those three practices is what will make your church grow, is when the church loves people, accepts them, and forgives them. And that is what I've been talking about this morning. That's what we're called to do. And as we allow Christ's presence through the practice of reconciliation to work in us, when we gather together, His presence then will begin to flow through us and out to people as we love, accept, forgive, and serve in the world. And let me tell you something. This is the only way that I see in Scripture that we are going to be a light to our nation and world again in the midst of all this anger and hatred and animosity that people have against each other. And if the church doesn't practice reconciliation, how do we expect the world to see it? Now, I know I might have been a little tough this morning, but a lot of fingers have been pointing back at me because I was thinking, Lord, forgive me when I've judged people and said things about people because I disagreed with them, or I cut them off because I didn't want to hear their viewpoint. Because all I got was angry instead of having an open heart full of love. So let's be Christ's reconciling community in the world. We need it today. Amen. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning for communion. And so as we do that, like always, we're going to join together in our prayer this morning. And it's up there on the PowerPoint. Give you a chance to join with me if you'd like as we pray together and ask God to come and work during our time together. So let's pray together. Oh God, you have always offered yourself to us in Christ, and now we seek to receive from your grace and goodness again. Pour out your Spirit, oh God, upon these gifts of bread and juice, that as we receive them, we may know the life-giving reconciliation of God's love in Christ anew in our lives. Forgive, nourish, and refresh us to serve in this reconciling work in our church and in our world. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Receive of that today. Receive of His Spirit today as we share together at the table. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses, those that are going to be helping us out this morning to serve, if they would begin to make their way. And when they're ready, they may come. The table is open to all. And we're all to be able to receive of His grace this morning as we partake. Thank you. on that night when they were together, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Later, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks for it and blessed it and said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, let's stand together as we close out this morning, and we're going to sing our final little hymn there this morning. We're going to do three verses of In Christ There Is No East or West, number 671 this morning. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south. Join together then for our benediction. Go forth in the light of God's reconciling grace.
We go with God.
Go in the peace, love, and beauty of God's way. Amen.